Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord, I praise you, Lord, for the season that we're in, Father, the fall feast, Lord, that you've called us to, Lord, the Moedim, Lord, that we can come and honor and magnify you, Father. May we truly embrace the sweetness of what you have for us, Lord. A new year, Father, a new year, 5782, Father, may we embrace it, Father. May we embrace what you have by us by the power of your Spirit, Father. May you just fill us completely, Lord. May the hearts of your people be good ground for your word, O God. Good ground, Lord, that you can plant your seed into it, that it can have a harvest, Lord, produce fruit, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you would fill me, Lord, to deliver the word, Lord, to get out of your way, Lord, and let you speak to your people, Father. Anything that I've added, Lord, may you strike it. Anything that should be there, Lord, may you supply it, Father. May the name of Yeshua become greater. May the name of Eduardo become lesser. In the name of the mighty one of Israel, Yeshua. Amen. Chag Sameach. 5782, after party at my house. Just kidding. I'm going to sleep when I get home. That's a party enough. If you get sleep, right? God is so good. Talking about sleeping, you know, Zach's been having trouble sleeping. You know, babies don't sleep. I don't know why. They just finished coming into the world. You think they want to take a nap, relax. But no, they don't. They want to sleep when everything's going crazy all around them. But when it's quiet and you want to go to sleep, they think it's party time. They're like, let's go, right? And we found, and so Amy got this magical device, and I know we shouldn't be using magical, ooh, I know, but I mean, it's a nice device. It's called the white noise machine. Oh, yeah, ooh, praise the Lord for the white noise machine. And it's a subtle little sound. It's and it keeps the baby asleep. I thank the Lord for a white noise machine. I want to write a blessing in Hebrew for a white noise machine, right? It's a kol lavan, a white noise machine, right? And as I'm thinking about noises, I'm thinking about the white noise for the baby. It made me think about this Yom Teruah, a day of blowing that is a sound and a noise as well. Numbers 29:1 says, now in the seventh month of the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It will be for you a day for blowing trumpets. That's where they got the name from. Day of blowing, blow the trumpets, blow the shofar. Real simple. It's a holy day. Because what happens is, while Zach is sleeping, if a door slams or I walk in too hard, you know, we have one entrance to the bedroom. This door is the quietest door you will ever meet in your life. You can close it. It doesn't make any sound. No creaking, no nothing. The other one sounds like I knocked the door down, right? Trying to get in, right? But what happens is the baby sleeps on the side with the quiet door, so I try to sneak in. But if I come in through the other way, what happens? Wham, right? The sound of the shofar is meant to do the same thing for us, brothers and sisters. It is meant to awaken us. How many of us are asleep? The title of the message is White Noise. Because these things in my life, they speak to me. The Lord speaks to me through them. I go through all these crazy situations that the Lord just moves, right? And the Lord, it's not just me. The Lord wants to do this with all of his people. Amen. Every situation you got, everything you face, the Lord wants to move. May this new year, may this Yom Teruah, may this day of blowing be different. May we perceive what God has for us. May we not be asleep. Amen. How does white noise work, though? Everybody loves white noise. Ooh, everybody's crazy about it, right? How does white noise work? Yeah, the sound of the television. That was the white noise from Barry's day. Now we figured out how to replicate it. Barry, you're still looking good, brother. You're still doing your thing. So to produce white noise, this is what happens. Your ear can hear certain frequencies, right? It has a range of frequencies, which are sounds that it can hear. If you remember last Shabbat when it sounded like we had a giant hyena in here, right? So we hear that every morning, every Shabbat morning when we do that. But it sounds like it was a giant hyena. That is a frequency. That's a sound. And what the board is trying to do is trying to eliminate some of these sounds and frequencies that are causing feedback, that are getting looped. That's what that echo is. It's whoa. That's what the echo is. All right? So to produce white noise, this is what happens. Every single frequency your ear can hear is being played at the same amplitude. Fancy word for volume. All right? So every frequency that your ear can hear or perceive is being played randomly at the same volume. This is what produces white noise. Make sense? When we think about black noise, that is the absence of all sound altogether. We don't have that. That doesn't exist. Even in the mountains of the Poconos where I live at, there's no such thing as black noise. Right? There's sound everywhere. Same thing like we talk about black light or white light. White light is every single color of the fractured light hitting at once. That's what white light is called. You with me? See, the goal of the white noise is that the white noise would muffle the sounds of the other frequencies. So the idea is that the frequency of the door, the frequency of someone stepping, the frequency of a cough, the white noise is blocking that out. So what happens is, as baby Zach is sleeping, which he's doing right now in the middle of service, he's so rude, his dad's preaching. So I come alive at nighttime, guys, I'm sorry. All right? So the white noise will muffle every other frequency that he hears, right? Because his ear is perceiving every single range of frequency he could possibly perceive. So when the door hits, or someone coughs or steps, or we turn on TV, or whatever happens, he's not going to notice it as much because the white noise is muffling the sounds that are happening around him. You still with me? But Zach is still experiencing all the sounds. If we open up a door, the door is still being open, right? If I cough, I'm still coughing, but the white noise machine is covering it. I think, brothers and sisters, that we are absolutely asleep at the wheel many of the times. We are so distracted and impressed by the sounds around us, all the different frequencies of life and confusion and just hurt and pain and things we've done and things people have done to us. These are noises and frequencies in our lives that put us asleep at the wheel, brothers and sisters. And we like it. We're comfortable. Because you know what? If I have to deal with my stuff and my nonsense and my problems and all my issues and all things I got going on, then I got to wake up. I got to do some work. This Yom Teruah is a day that the Lord is calling us to be different. It's calling us to wake up. Amen? I don't want to be comfortable with the noises. I don't want to be asleep. I don't want the sound of the white noise around me. I want to be focused, brothers and sisters. I want to fulfill God's purpose for my life. I want to walk in His ways and His truth and His reality. The Lord's question to us today on this Yom Teruah, as you're hearing the shofar blowing, are you asleep? Whether it's Lee's lovely blast that sounds like smooth as when you cut through butter. You ever pour a glass of milk? Doesn't that look so smooth? That's Lee blowing that shofar. Me, I'm like, right? But it's all good. We all have our gifts. Amen? Lee sounds like butter, man, coming up through there. If butter could make a sound, right? Don't be distracted, brothers and sisters. As a shofar blast, no matter what the blast sounds like to your natural ear, are you spiritually listening to the sound of the blast? Are you spiritually listening to what God has for you in this moment, in this second? Are you spiritually listening for the things that the Lord will have you put down and the things that He will have you pick up, brothers and sisters? This is what Yom Teruah needs to be about. And Yeshua was clear. Yeshua used the imagery of hearing in John 10:24. So all the Jews gathered around Him, and they had a problem with Yeshua. They didn't like Yeshua. Many of the leaders disliked Yeshua. Why? Because Yeshua challenged the system that they had established. Now, don't miss the fact that all of His disciples were Jews. So His disciples, the Jewish people, received Him, but yet there were other Jews who were leaders who didn't. There was a conflict within the Jewish people early on about who Yeshua was. And as these group of Jews, these specific Jews, not all of the Jews, gathered around Him, they were saying to Him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? Stop playing. We need to know. Are you the Messiah? Just tell us. Yeshua said, I told you, but you don't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify," right? Yeshua's saying, look, I'm not just going to tell you with the words, with the sound from my mouth, but the very things that I'm doing are going to show you who I am. Amen? And then He says, but you do not believe me because you are not my sheep. And Yeshua puts a real clear line in the sand, and He's not playing games. Yeshua put a clear line in the sand, and He said, if you are one of my sheep, you would have heard my voice. I know my sheep, and they follow me. Can you imagine talking to your sheep? Sheep, come here, and the sheep's like, man, go fly a kite. I'm going this way. That's not my sheep. I don't want that sheep no more. Sheep is rebellious. Amen? And many times we're like this. We're sheep like this. We hear the voice of Yeshua from the Bema. We hear it from pastors and people who are pouring into us, rabbis and congregational leaders, people who love us all over. If you guys are listening online, I'm sure there are people pouring into you. This is how God works. You have the Word of God that's available to people more than ever. And we don't hear the voice of God. We don't turn. We don't change. We don't become different. We keep doing the same stuff all over and over and over. The definition of insanity. Doing the same thing, thinking you're going to get a different result. May this Yom Teruah be different, brothers and sisters. We can't just be ones who hear the voice of the Lord. Because I believe that the Lord speaks from this bema, amen? And the Lord speaks through his people and his community. When we're obedient, God is speaking. God speaks through his word. But some of us, we turn a deaf ear to it. Why? Because of life. There's so much things going on. You don't know. Life is so difficult. Yes, life is difficult. But with the Messiah, we can endure. Amen? These voices don't need to keep us asleep. These sounds don't need to keep. The sound of the car not working. The sound of the bills not getting paid. The sound of the hurt. The sound of all the anguish. The sound of all the things we have going on. Don't need to keep us asleep, brothers and sisters. We can be awake. Amen? This is what the sound of the shofar blast should be for us. Amen? Brothers and sisters, don't be consumed by the frequencies that surround you. Your life situations, all the things you have to face, your jobs, your spouses, your children, all the things that you face, your grandchildren, the jobs that you have, the congregational responsibilities that you have to this community, the tithing, the giving, all the stuff that's involved with what we're called to do. These frequencies, if we focus on these frequencies, we will never hear the voice of the Lord our God. If we make the things that we do our primary focus, we will lose sight of the Lord in the midst of all the white noise. Let's not be like this, brothers and sisters. Let's be a people that have an ear that is fine-tuned to the voice of our Messiah and the voice of our God. Amen? And not just that we hear his voice. You don't know how many people I meet that tell me, yeah, I believe the Bible's God's word, but I don't do nothing it says. You don't know how many professors I've had who know the Bible in and out on a level that they understand the history, they understand the language, they understand the background, they understand the cultural context, but their lives are not submitted to the Messiah, so what's the point of all this learning? Amen? And I believe that we can be the same way. We can sit here, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, after Yom Teruah, Yomim Noraim, all the way to Yom Kippur, all these holy, we can be here in this cycle of going over and over and over again and find that when Yeshua crashed the sky, we never change. We were never transformed. We were never made whole. We never made disciples. We never even became a disciple. This is the fear, brothers and sisters. This is the thing that we need to be aware of this day, this Yom Teruah, this 5782. May this be a different one in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Awake, awake from Isaiah 52. Clothe yourself in your strength, O Sion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come into you. Jerusalem is being personified because of all that it's been through. It was a place that was brought for the people of Israel. The Lord empowered them to take that land from the Canaanites as a judgment to them because of their sin. They received it as a gift, and now Jerusalem is, the Lord is calling it to wake up, right? In the sense that understand that these people who are not committed to you won't walk and trample it all the time. Awake, awake, awake. Indeed, we need to be awakened up. May there be no uncircumcision in us, the uncircumcision of heart that the Lord calls us to. May there be no old flesh in us. May there be no old way of living. May we live new in the life of the Spirit. Amen? Is it easy? No. It's the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. But with the Lord and His Spirit, you can be successful. Amen? Yeshua is calling His people. You're watching online. Yeshua is calling you. You hear this community, she was calling you. She was calling him as well. She was calling the people outside. She was calling the person down the street. The person you cut off while you were driving on the highway. She was calling him to know him. The person who upset you in the grocery store. She was calling them. She was calling all people to come to himself, brothers and sisters. John 12:32. And if I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. See, the Lord's calling you at this moment. His voice is speaking. The sounds are coming forth from the Lord, but are you listening? The shofar is symbolic of that. And I think it's a fitting example, because if you hear shofar blast, you're like, dude, what is that? Last Shabbat, Zach and Lee was outside and blowing for the kids. I heard it instantaneously. That shofar frequency stood out of every other frequency. It stood out above Rabbi Mark's voice. It stood out above the background noise. It stood above about if I was outside, anywhere I was at, I heard it. I heard it through the glass. The sound of the shofar came through and pierced my ear and caused a response in me to see what is going on outside. May we be like this with the voice of our God, amen. May we be so in tune with God's voice, with God's spirit, that we churn, that we hear it. If Yeshua is calling, that we would say, Lord, I'll follow you. Call me to this thing, send me to that thing, Lord, where you will go, I will follow, no matter what it costs me. We need to be this sort of a people, amen? Because Yeshua is drawing people unto himself. He's drawing all men. If he didn't offer salvation and redemption to all mankind, then he would be an unjust God to punish them. And I'll say that again. If the Lord did not offer salvation and justification to every person, then he would be an unjust God in punishing them. How terrible would it be if Aiden picked up a book, and as soon as he picks up the book, I give him a whooping? You're not supposed to touch that book. Dad, you never told me not to touch that book, right? There's no guideline. God has established in his word how we need to live. He's given us the whole spirit of the Torah that we can live by. And this tells us how we need to live, brothers and sisters. And it's not just that. Romans 1:18 says, the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And what do these men do? They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. These people are suppressing God's truth. See, it's another way to be asleep. It's another way to be asleep. God's truth is being revealed from creation, it goes on to say. It says, the heavens and the earth declare the greatness of God, his majesty. It proves that he exists. You can look at the stars and the moon and tell that God exists. And these people who see it, they say, look, there must be a God out there. They know inside of them a God exists, and they suppress that reality of God. No matter what they tell you, no matter what they say, I believe the Bible over men. You can tell me you don't believe in God. The Bible tells me that you suppress the truth of God. Because you consider the creation plain. How do we respond to the frequencies in our lives, brothers and sisters? How are you specifically in your life? Are you asleep? Awake, O sleeper, and Messiah will shine on you from the book of Ephesians. It's time to wake up. I get it. Life is difficult. I get it. Things are hard. But if you're honest, 90% of your troubles is because you did it. Take an inventory. I know that's the truth for me. My life would be a lot simpler if I would have followed the Lord from 16 up until today the way he told me to do. But the Lord has a purpose and a plan, even in how he lets us stray, brothers and sisters. But today is the day to change. Today is the day to be made whole. Today is the day to jump on that race. But many of us aren't even on it. We like sleeping. We like the rocker that rocks us back and forth, right? Like a little baby. We like the fact that we like to have the white noise in the background, brothers and sisters. And you know what's interesting? This week's portion is about Hannah. From the book of Samuel, the mother of Samuel. And she has some issues. And traditionally, this is read during Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah. And it says that this man, Elkanah, had two wives. Hannah and the other one. I don't even want to say her name because it's an ugly name. But, focus. He loved Hannah. So much he gave her double portions, right? Because he loved her. But something happened to Hannah. Hannah couldn't have children. In the ancient world, it was like a death sentence. And it doesn't just say that Hannah couldn't have a child. It says that the Lord closed her womb. See, this is a frequency for Hannah. Sometimes we think it's just the world making the noise, but sometimes the Lord is putting a frequency inside of you to prevent you from a certain path for a time. The Lord indeed closed her womb. What does the Lord close for you? And not only that, Not only was the fact that the Lord closed her room, her womb, her sister wife, the other one, would make fun of her for it because she couldn't have children. You think you got it bad. You got to live with this person who's making fun of you because you can't have any babies. And mind you, this was the way that you had worth in the ancient world. Look, Elkanah still loved her. But the reality is if you couldn't produce a seed, there's no future line, right? That all the inheritance goes to the other line. The families get lost. Hannah has some stuff going on. Hannah had her own frequencies, her own sounds that could have distracted her. Hannah could have said, forget it. I'm done with this stuff. The Lord closed my womb. He can go fly a kite. Look, you all lifting up your eyebrows like you never said anything to the Lord like that. Let's be honest. Hannah had her own variation of things that were happening, and she had a choice to make. Will I pursue the Lord with all the noise and the stuff and the frequencies and the problems, or will I just go my own way and my own path and forget about him completely? See, brothers and sisters, there's not just white noise. Google showed me this in a dream. Pink noise as well. There's pink noise. Do you know what pink noise is? Pink noise is the sound of waves crashing on the beach or leaves rustling or rains falling. And all these different, there are different noises and different colors of it, different shades they give because people respond and go to sleep based upon different frequencies. So for if white noise doesn't work for you, they want you to try pink noise. Because maybe some of those frequencies don't keep you asleep. Let me tell you something. The enemy, your flesh, this world is designed to throw every single frequency at you to keep you asleep. Let's continue. There's brown noise. It's thunder or a waterfall. Then you have blue noise, which is the sound of, it's the opposite of brown noise. It's like a spigot or like a water hose, a small one going all treble, no bass. There's even gray noise, and nobody even knows what that is, but it sounds different to everyone. Hannah had her own frequencies. These struggles in our lives are meant to keep us asleep. These struggles are meant to keep us far from the Lord, brothers and sisters, but we need to wake up this Yom Teruah. Why do you think that when people are depressed, they stay in bed? Because it's easier to stay in bed with your eyes closed asleep than to face the reality of your life. They much rather be ministered to by Zach and Pillow and Rabbi Sheets. But the reality is, if you know any person who's ever been depressed who got to the point where they went in bed, and believe me, there's more than there hasn't been. If you know anyone who ever been in that situation, you know that as long as they stood in bed, they never got better. We need to get out of bed, brothers and sisters, and pursue the Lord with all that we have and stop sleeping. Hannah can inspire us because even Hannah, after having a closed womb, after having this lady that would get on her nerves nonstop, this woman that she had to live with that mocked her womanhood, mocked everything that the world thought she should be. What did she do? Year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, the woman would provoke her. She wept and would not eat. So what's the point here? She would still, in the point of not eating, or she would still go to the house of the Lord. She wasn't lost. She wasn't just in the woods. She didn't pull one of Abraham's wife, Bilhah, that she went off into the wild, Ishmael's mom. She went in. This is too much for me. I can't deal with it. I'm going to run away. I'm going to hide. I'm going to put my boy under a rock. Let him die. She didn't hide. Hannah didn't run. She went in all her pain and all her anger. She brought everything to the house of the Lord. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I get the pain. I get the hurt. I get the disappointment. I get the stress of life. Let's bring it to the house of the Lord. Amen. She didn't allow her frequencies to put her to sleep. And here she goes. She goes after she finally finds a way to eat and drink, she goes to Shiloh. Now, Eli, the priest, was there. Great man of God, kind of, I guess. She was greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. Eli made some crazy decisions later on. And then Hannah goes and makes a vow to the Lord. When's the last time you made a commitment in your relationship with the Lord? A serious commitment. A series to say, I will not go back to that thing. I will not do this thing. I will take the steps necessary to defeat what my flesh has brought about, what I've chosen, what I was born into, what I've been raising my kids into. And she says, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give me a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Her commitment wasn't just, Lord, you know, I could use this bill getting paid. You know, Lord, I got this really bad headache. I would love if you would heal me, Adonai Rofe, of my headache. No, her thing produced an action in her. She wanted to receive from God so that she can give back to the Lord. She understood what it was not to have, and she wanted to give back to the Lord. Do you understand? So many of us just want to receive from his hand, but we don't care about his face. Father, may you show us your face, O Lord. Amen? And then Hannah's doing her thing. She's praying. She goes, Lord, I would just love it. Baby, Lord, I'll give it to you. And then Eli looks at her. He says, woman, why are you drunk? So what you sipping on? Some Sizzler? What you doing, right? See, Eli wasn't in a place where he could perceive what was going on with this woman. In such deep anguish, it seemed as if she was drunk while she was speaking it in her heart. So not only is she hardly eating, she has to travel all the way up to Shiloh. She's dealing with this woman that's giving her the hardest time ever. She doesn't have a child. Her husband loves her, but she's still unfulfilled and unsatisfied, depressed. Now she has the priest, the man of God, telling her that she's drunk in her petitions before the Lord. You know, sometimes it seems like as we're going through things, it just keeps piling. You ever been there? It's never just one thing, right? You don't just deal with one problem at a time. It's usually like two or three, four. Maybe they hit you with a six real quick that you got to kind of put on snooze so you can come back to it. And her response is, no, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. Are you oppressed in spirit? Have you ever been? The Lord can free us, amen? And I believe this more than anything. Truer than you are before me, I believe the Lord can free us. Do we battle the flesh? Do we battle the world? Do we make bad decisions? These things happen, brothers and sisters, but are we pursuing him? See, what Hannah does, she has poured out, and she tells Eli, I've poured out my soul before the Lord. Is this you? Have you ever poured your soul out to the Lord? Have you ever said, oh, Lord, I have nowhere else to go. I have no way to open up my womb. I can't afford the fertilizer doctors. I can't afford the specialists. There are no specialists that exist. Where am I to go? Am I going to go to Baal? Am I going to go to Molech? What God am I going to go to? What shaman am I going to see? What seer am I going to go to? What holy man can I go to that would give me the answers for my body? It's only you. She recognized him. And she poured out her heart to him saying, Lord, I don't just want to receive from you, but I want to give back to what you're doing in my life. This needs to be us today, this moment, when we go into the shofar blasts that are going to be next. May the shofar blast be powerful by the Spirit of the Lord. And may it awaken every single one of us to abandon the former life. Amen? And then what happens? Elkanah has relations with his wife. The Lord remembered her. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Shemuel. Praise you, Lord. Amen. That the Lord indeed answered at the right time. The Lord answered at that moment. The Lord answered what she was petitioning for. Remember, she still got to deal with the other woman. The other woman just doesn't go away because she has a child. Just because you have a victory in one thing doesn't mean all your other problems go away, brothers and sisters. This is a race. This is a continual thing. This is a continual battle for holiness and to represent Yeshua well in this dying world. Amen. And then this next verse truly got me. She goes, oh, my Lord, as my soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood there beside you. And she's talking to Eli because what she does is she takes the boy, Samuel, up to the house of the Lord so that he can live there under Eli. Some of y'all won't even play worship music for your kids. Here she is ushering her son to the house of the Lord so he can live there all the days of his life. And she gets to tell you, look, Eli, I was the one that was praying. You thought I was drunk. It's cool. I forgive you. We're cool now. Here's the boy. The Lord's given me what I've asked. I've dedicated him to the Lord, Samuel. And as long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. This is after he was weaned. So 2, 3, 5, depends. So Samuel's probably between 3 to 5 years old, I'd guess. Because he didn't eat his mother's milk. That's what it means to be weaned. He was having normal food. Only normal food. And then the next one got me. It says, and he worshiped the Lord there. Who's the he? You guys are so smart. But it's hard to tell. Because naturally we want to say, you know, Samuel might be a little bit too young to worship the Lord. Some might say. Why would they say? I don't know why they would say. Because I don't believe that. You can't believe it's Elkanah because she goes and meets Elkanah in a little bit. You can't say it's Eli because Eli is not the context of the passage. Brothers and sisters, I believe that when Samuel received from what his mother's petitions were, Samuel fully walked in it and embraced it, and there he is before Eli in the house of the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And you know, it's funny, I've sung worship songs to Aiden since he was a baby. I didn't get to do that with my other sons. It's funny, we go into stores, right, and we listen to club remixes of Waymaker and stuff like that because I DJ, so my world's across a little bit like that. But we listen to these really nice remixes of music and then worship songs, Waymaker, all types of stuff. Hine Matovu Manaim, right? Thy loving kindness. We sing that too. All these songs all the time, right? And he raised his hands and I hear him do it. And we drove to this one store and then we were listening to Waymaker. He gets out and I was going to get him a car. And you know what he does? He just starts belting out Waymaker at 3 years old. 3 years and 1 week through the whole store, right? That is who you are, right? You just bust it out, right? And like, listen, don't care, unashamed. Lightning McQueen t-shirt. And he just belting it out for the Lord, right? This is the heart of the Father, brothers and sisters. That we will make decisions and not be asleep at the wheel so we can affect ourselves and future generations so that the Lord can be magnified in this place, right? For the building up of the kingdom of God, this isn't just for us alone, but it's that the name of the God of Israel be magnified, amen, in our lives, and that the kingdom of God will be expanded, amen? It's not for frivolous things. I don't need my bills paid, but you know what? If the Lord is magnified to do whatever he does, then Lord, bring your will, amen? I need health. I need to be healthy, but you know what, Lord? I need you. You don't need me. Take me out at any moment. May we live to magnify him. Amen? So from the mouth of babes that praise can come out. Amen? And if I was asleep in the world in my drunken stupor and all the things that I've done in my former life, I'd never have a little boy named Aiden who would sing Waymaker in the middle of a store. You know, and people looked at him and they watched him as he sang Waymaker, and I don't even know if they knew what the song was, but no matter what, he was cute. But I think what they smiled about was that he was so passionate about what he was singing. He knows we're singing about Yeshua. And then after Hannah receives from what the Lord has for her, chapter 2, she begins this prayer to the Lord because the fruition of what she had petitioned before the Lord, she was able to walk in and bring to its completion. And she did her part. My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. So this was the first rap diss in history. This was against her sister wife, her enemy. And she continues, there's no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Amen. Amen. See, amplitude, we deal with volume, right? And so your ear is perceiving the white noise volume, and it's all at the same volume, brothers. But we have to fine-tune our ears to hear clearly. Because remember, I said Yeshua is speaking, God is speaking, God is moving, God is drawing, but some of us are so dense to his voice we don't hear his call. And I've shared this verse before. John chapter 12, there were some Greeks who went up to the feast and they go to see Yeshua. They're like, look, we want to see him. John 12:20, we want to see Yeshua. Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew told Philip. It would be easier if they could text each other. But Yeshua said this. He said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. Yeshua was talking about himself. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Yeshua was saying, I'm going to die. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to bear fruit, and it's going to bring fruit, and it's going to move people. He who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. You're going to get what you want. You want your life. You want this life. You want this world. Hold on to it. And that's what you're going to have, and it's going to take you into Gehenna, Sheol, into hell, separated from God. But if you refuse this life, refuse what this life calls you to, and you choose the life of the Messiah, it will lead you into eternal life, and it will give you fruit everlasting. Jesus says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. But then Yeshua in his flesh, because remember, Yeshua had a real body, right? Fully God, fully man, but he had a real body. He gets a little bit distressed and troubled because of what he's about to face. But he goes, what am I supposed to say? I got a lot going on. Yeshua had a lot going on. In the natural, he must have had some stress. You know, the Bible says that at some point, Yeshua got so distressed by what he was about to face at that cross that blood began to drop from his head like teardrops, which is an actual medical condition. Google it. Fact check me. So Yeshua said, look, I'm troubled. But what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, I don't want the Father to save me from this hour. For this purpose, I came. Father, glorify your name. We just say, things are so difficult. You don't get it. Things are so hard. It's so hard. For this you were born, to magnify and sanctify the one true God. No other purpose. You have no other purpose. Not to be big anywhere here or anywhere there, or to make your name great. You're not meant to serve for yourself, but to glorify the great name of the God of Israel. For this reason I was born. We were all born to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May his name forever be magnified. Amen. And this is what we're here for. And this is what Yeshua says. Yeshua said, look, this is what I'm here for. Life is hard. The cross is going to be terrible. The cross is going to hurt. But you know what? For this very reason, I came. And then when Yeshua says, Father, glorify your name, this voice, a sound, comes from heaven and it says, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. I wish I was there to hear that sound from heaven. And you would think all the people would be like, man, did you hear that voice of the Lord from heaven? Did you hear that voice of the Lord from heaven? These Greeks must have been God-fearers, because why are they going up to celebrate the feast, right? They must have at least embraced the God of Israel before, right up to circumcision. So they must have been going up to celebrate the feast. They must have believed in the Lord. And here the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who gave the Torah to his people, his voice is speaking from heaven. And you know what the people say? Man, that was a crazy thunder. That was a crazy sound, right? That was crazy lightning. You know what? Dude, it was probably an angel. Here it is that the God of Israel, the one true God, the Father, is speaking to the Son, the second person of the triune God. The voice comes out and breaks from the supernatural existence into the natural. People are there, worshipers of this God, and they don't even know his voice. They think it's thunder. You think the sound of the shofar is just the sound of a shofar? A brim, brim. No, it's not. This sound of the shofar is God's call, his voice for us to wake up today. Amen. And let's keep moving. God literally spoke. And the people were so distant from him, they didn't know his voice. This is what Yeshua was just saying earlier. If you don't know my voice, you don't follow me. If you know my voice, you'll follow me. If you follow me, you're my disciple. If you don't follow me, you're not my disciple. Brothers, it's black and white. We have a world that says, so good. Whatever you believe. You believe that, that's cool. Josh, it's all good. It's all right. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. It's all good. Coexist bumper sticker. We're cool. No coexist bumper sticker. Yeshua is all that matters. Amen. And if we're not living lives that reflect Yeshua, we're living lives in vain. Your life does not matter. Let's be different, brothers and sisters. And from James 1:21, this is what the Lord calls us to. Put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and the humility, receive the word implanted. If indeed the word has been implanted, God is speaking. Are you receiving that word? Are you allowing it to be implanted in your life? Because if the word isn't implanted, then you will put off all this filthiness, all this nastiness, all these things that are contrary to the Lord. Do we live perfect? No, we don't live perfect. We make mistakes. We fall. We drop the ball. But we're on that road of putting off the former man. If you're in the same things you were 5 years ago and to the same degree, and you said yes to Yeshua 5 years ago, you're probably not in Yeshua. Let's change, brothers and sisters. Amen? Look at what he says. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. But once he looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. And that's a rough translation. It really means he forgets what he looks like, which kind of means forgets what person you are. Have you ever gone to a mirror and walked away and forgot what you look like? This is the foolishness of people who hear God's word and don't change and aren't transformed. It's foolishness. May we hear God's word and transform and behold, may we not listen to any other voice. Amen? Samuel goes on to be one of the most important people in the history of Israel. He anoints the first couple of kings. He rebukes many. He's one of the last of the prophets in the sense of that period, the judges, I mean. Very important. See, we need to understand that in all of our life situations, all the things that we go through, we need to choose what frequencies we listen to. Anybody know what an equalizer is? Sound equalizer? See, with your nice fancy iPhones and stuff, you don't really use an equalizer anymore because it kind of does it on its own based upon the sound that's coming in to give you the clearest sound. But in the old days, in the Stone Age, if you had sound coming through, there will be these buttons that will go across, and it will be all the way from the low until the high. So instead of just turning the whole volume up like you do when you scroll with your phone, you would turn these frequencies up and down, right? So you go, so if you like the high, if you like a little bass, if you want to sound like Amanda or Eduardo, right? You kind of, you know, you get the frequencies going, right? Brothers and sisters, we need to be like that. We need to take all of our life stuff and all of our things and all the stuff that we have going on, and we need to put it through this equalizer. And we need to tweak it. We need to tweak it. And I'm going to tell you why. He who was of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. This is going to be the judgment of the Lord over those who don't choose him. If you don't allow the frequencies of your life to be funneled through the equalizer, you're going to find yourself not following the one true God. I say instead of blue noise, pink noise, white noise, we need some Tehillah noise. And I'm going to tell you why we need some Tehillah noise, right? Because not because wearing CTs is the thing only. See, Tehillah represented something. Tehillah meant that when you put them on and you look at them, you remember that you're a harlot and a whore and a dirty person. See, because the Bible says we wear the CTs to not prostitute yourself with the world. What does that mean? I'm probably a prostitute. So don't prostitute myself. So when you look at the Tehillah, you need to remember that you are committing yourself to something. Same way it was on the garments of the priest. They would have Tehillah through their clothing. They would have Tehillah on the tabernacle and in the temple. This was a symbol that we're doing something that God has called us to do, brothers and sisters. You need to tweak those frequencies of your life to the point where you're Tehillah focused in the sense that you are becoming a greater priest, a greater disciple, and a greater son or daughter to the living God. Forget about all the other things, all the other stuff we have going on. May this Yom Teruah, may we be completely different. Don't let me say amen and then you clap and then we blow the shofar and you completely forget about what I'm saying. I don't need your claps. Don't need your approval. Don't need you to think the message is good. It's not my message, it's the Lord. May we be transformed. This is serious. Eternity hangs in the balance. Your future generations hang in the balance. Every single thing you do hangs in the balance. This is not a joke, brothers and sisters. May we be changed. You know, today is also known as Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment as well. Because on this day, traditionally it teaches that this is the day that the judgment is settled, is given. And then it's solidified on Yom Kippur. So for the next 10 days are Yomim Noraim, the days of awe, where you're going to see, where if you live in those communities, you're going to see Jewish people beating themselves and saying sorry to each other. Because what happens is the Lord pronounces the judgment on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Teruah. And then he seals it on Yom Kippur for the next year. So the idea is that for the next 10 days, you'd want to be changing and repenting and you'd be saying sorry to people you've offended so that God can seal you for a good year. This is why we say, L'shana Tova, to a good year, that you might have a good year. We need to take that on even a greater level, brothers and sisters, than what non-believing traditional communities have done. Because we have the gift of Yeshua. We have the Spirit of God that can transform us and change us and truly make us effective for this dying world. This moment, as a shofar blast, is a moment for you to have your own Hannah moment. Not Hannah Montana, but Hannah moment. Rabbi Mark, you running through me, brother. I feel you, man. I feel you, man. Have your hand a moment with the Lord. I encourage you. Make that commitment to the Lord as the shofar sounds are blasting, whether it's Zach and Lee's buttery one or my, right? But embrace the Lord in that moment as the shofar blast is blasting, because it's not just that sound of the shofar, but it is the Spirit of God beside it that wants to completely overthrow all the mess in your life. He wants to put everything back in order. He wants to fix those things. And will life still be difficult? It might still be. But we're progressing towards where he would have us, right? The fullness of the new covenant truth will be with him for all eternity. Don't miss that point. Don't lose that. Have that Hannah moment. Make those commitments to the Lord in this moment. The Lord, however you lead me, wherever you send me, whatever you call me to do, whatever you call me to put down, Lord, I will do it. And I will serve you faithfully. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father and King, Lord. May we focus on you, Father, your truth, this Yom Teruah, this Rosh Hashanah, this 5782. May it be your change, a year of transformation. May you illuminate in us anything that's contrary to Father. I pray your spirit fall. The disciples prayed for your spirit to fall, and it fell, Father. Spirit fall and move in the midst of your people in the name of the mighty one of Israel, Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Amen.